KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me
is Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right. We are here on this lovely Thursday evening, an hour earlier than usual.
In case you hadn't noticed.
Why is that, Caleb?
Because it's summer hours, and they close the building down sooner, so we have to get in and get out sooner.
Yeah. But hey, that means you get us earlier.
Yeah. You now have us for part of your commute on the way home? Question mark.
There you go. And boy, was there a commute.
Yes, I got caught up in part of it. It was exciting. Yeah. No, by exciting, I mean...
Yeah, mine was like right at the exit for Bascom or whatever the heck it is. That's when it started. So like I avoided it right there. But there's still... I got to get used. Down. There's a little bit more traffic than than normal leaving. So I'll have to factor that into next week's
show. That was an accident right around there between the airport and 101. So that slowed things down for quite a while.
So yeah, maybe since we do start a little bit earlier, we'll throw in some traffic reports.
Hey, maybe.
Who knows?
You'll get one by we'll be late.
Yeah. Oh, they're not started at 6 yet. There must have been traffic.
Yep.
But don't worry. We will be here for you.
And oh, yes.
Maybe you're like, well, that's great, but who the hell are you? Well,
who are we? Well, we are a geek-centered talk show here on 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound, KSU Santa Clara.
That is right. And we love it when you participate on this geek-centered talk show because we talk about tech stuff. We talk about movies, video games, comic books, anything that you would consider geek. We probably hit at some point on this show or... consecutive shows or previous shows. And we like it when you participate. Now, obviously, if you're driving and you're listening, the participation is listen. And later on, you can participate.
Yes, when you're in a safe location where you can bring out your smart device or when you get home, it can get on the internet. You can find us on Facebook. We are facebook.com/robotsattackshow, all one thing. Or you can do a search in that top bar for Robots Attack, two words. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is robotsattackme, all one word. There's our email address, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, the one place to rule it all, the one place to find links to all things I've described, plus archive episodes of our show, is robotsattack.me.
That's right. So if you aren't driving or using any heavy equipment that requires the use of your brain,
yes,
and your eyes and things
lots of manual dexterity.
Exactly. Then hit up some of those and participate on the show because we love to hear from you.
Indeed.
It makes it an interactive, fun kind of show because we have fun interacting with each other.
Naturally.
But we want to make you a part of it as well. What we like to do, if you're new to the show, is we like to start off the show with new releases.
Woo!
And I'm going to hit the movies in the theater this week, at least some. There's a lot coming out. I'm just grabbing a handful because I don't want to talk about all of them.
Yes, that was
because we have a show to do.
Yes.
So here's one, Snowpiercer. Now,
Pierce.
Yeah. At first, I thought when I saw this one, it's like, oh, hey, there's Captain America in a movie. I think he's got an axe or something. Like, it's probably okay. But I'm hearing lots and lots of really good things about this movie. So it's in a future where a failed global warming experiment kills off most life on the planet. Global warming's not true. A class system evolves aboard the Snowpiercer, a train that travels around the globe via a perpetual motion engine. And I was just joking. It is totally real. At least I think so.
That's why it's science fiction.
There you go. The fiction part, right?
In a world.
If that holds no interest to you, you don't like snow, piercing snow, or future where failed things happen, maybe you like They Came Together. Joel, played by Paul Rudd, a candy company executive, threatens to close down Molly's, Molly, played by Amy Poehler, mom-and-pop candy store. But the unlikely pair begin to fall in love. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Then we have Begin Again. Greta, Keira Knightley, and her longtime boyfriend Dave, Adam Levine, are college sweethearts and songwriting partners who decamp for New York when they land a deal with a major label. But the trappings of his newfound fame soon tempt Dave to stray. Man, you're going out with Keira Knightley, you're astray, you're an idiot, Adam Levine.
It's in the script.
Yeah. And a reeling lovelorn Greta is left on her own. Then we have probably the biggest one, and had a really great radio advertisement for it that I'll tell you after. Transformers, Age of Extinction. Now, here's what it was like, Extinction. And then Paul, Mark Wahlberg going like, we got to stop them. Transformers. It's like, what? What was that?
No.
I mean, I was like, what?
Is this a perfume ad? What just happened?
That was it was strange, but maybe that was the genius of it. Because it's Transformers.
It got you talking about
it.
Yeah,
you don't really need to say very much. Bam, Extinction. Whoa, that's deep. Mark Wahlberg, we got to stop them. Transformers. Okay, all right.
Mark Wahlberg talks to robots. Hey, say hi to your mother for me.
And there we have a handful of some movies coming out in the theater this week.
Yeah, well, if you prefer to stay at home and hang out in the home theater.
Loser.
Don't call them that. They might just be laid up because they're sick or they've hurt themselves. Or they just don't like going out as much. But maybe you want some new DVDs and Blu-rays to liven up your life. Perhaps 300 Rise of an Empire. It's really a companion film more than a sequel or prequel to 300. Mm. This film tells the story of what the Athenian army was doing while the Spartans were standing up to the mighty Persian army. In short, they were kicking butt and taking names at sea.
Oh, so it's kind of happening at the same time?
Exactly. Like, oh, okay. And there are parts that kind of like bookend like what happened to to there's flashbacks of what happened in the film and then things a little before and a little bit after. So they kind of pad out the 300 story, and then in it is also the companion piece of I'm gonna butcher this pronunciation. Yeah, the commander of the Athenian army who takes on Artemisia, who commands Xerxes' armada, and the story seeks to further explain Xerxes' desire to conquer Greece. If you want something a little bit more intellectual, if you will, there is Enemy on Blu-ray and DVD. When a university professor is in the midst of a failing relationship, he spots his twin in a film and tracks him down. The result is a rather complex and methodical twisting of lives with lots of symbolism. In short, it's a weird movie that's getting some critical acclaim, although viewer response is a little bit mixed. Then there's possibly, if you want something like just completely highbrow, Pandora's Promise on DVD. It's a documentary looking into the issue of nuclear power. It takes a more hopeful look at a future where this controversial power solution. Your opinions may vary. And to round out this selection, I'm going to mention an old favorite of mine, Ranma 1/2. Now, why is it being mentioned here? Because it's now out on Blu-ray. Set 2 came out this month. Set 1 was a little bit earlier, and I somehow missed that in my listings. The stalwart anime...
You secretly hate it, that's why.
No, it got me into anime, honestly. The stalwart anime manga classic is back in Blu-ray! This set introduces the violent yet likable Shampoo, a member of a secret clan of Chinese Amazons who wishes to marry boy-type Ranma and destroy girl-type Ranma.
Did you just say Shampoo?
Yes. Okay. Her name is Shampoo.
All right. Just all right. I know it's anime.
And it also introduces Mouse, or if you prefer the European statement, or Moose, if you like a more American pronunciation, the weapon master who is desperately in love with Shampoo, to this already raucous group of characters. Oh, and lest I forget, Genma and Satomi's old master, Happosai, also returns. Naturally, hijinks ensue. Yeah, this is that was one of the first ones that got me to anime besides Robotech. Although I didn't realize that Robotech was anime, I just thought it was a cool show. But when I saw Ranma One Half, it actually like realized, oh, that's anime. And that like got me into this idea of that it's a wondrous and weird world over there, and it was a lot of fun. So there you go. A small selection of cool things coming out on DVD and Blu-ray.
Nice. All right, to the land of video games. We have Valiant Hearts, The Great War. It's dropping on the 360, the Xbox One, the PS3, the PS4, and the PC. It's the story of crossed destinies at a broken love and a world torn apart. All of them will try to survive the horror of the trenches following their faithful canine companion. In Valiant Hearts, The Great War, the lives of all these characters are inextricably drawn together over the course of the game. Friendship, love, sacrifice, and tragedy befell each one as they help each other to retain their humanity against the horrors of war. It looks very pretty. I know they showed off some of it at E3 last time. To not really tie in with Transformers Extinction, but I guess sort of. There's Transformers Rise of the Darkspark for 360, Xbox One, PS3, PS4, Wii U, and PC. For the first time ever, fight your way through both Earth and Cybertron universes in an unforgettable battle to secure the Darkspark. Play the expanded four-player co-op online escalation mode with new upgradable defenses and challenging power foes. The new leveling system spans campaign and escalation, allowing players to unlock rewards that will aid progression in both modes. And we have Grid Autosport for the 360, PS3, and PC. It's all about the teams, the rivals, and the race as you become a driver for hire, specializing in your favorite disciplines or conquering them all in an intense world of professional motorsport. Grid Autosport features over 100 routes across 22 incredible locations, the return of in-car view, authentic handling, and the world's most exciting contemporary and classic high-performance racing cars. If you're not interested in cars, but you like playing plants, killing zombies, or vice versa, and you have a PC, well, now PC players have Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare. If you like taking farming on the go, there's Farming Simulator 14 for the Vita and the 3DS with a new refined look and twice the available equipment as its predecessor. Farming Simulator 14 gives you control of an extensive range of authentic farm machines. And just because, well, you know, Microsoft likes to be sneaky and, you know, like release indie games or games that like if PlayStation said they were doing it, people would go nuts for. But when Microsoft does it, people don't seem to care. But they dropped like Contrast. Crap, what was the other one? RBI Baseball 14. Oh man. Move on to the comics and I'll find the other two. I know there's one as like a zombie racing game or something.
Racing game. Interesting. So while Joe looks up some other stuff, comic books you might want to pick up are Catwoman from DC, number 32. It turns out Selina wasn't in the Race of Outlaws just for herself.
What?
Shocking, I know. But who was she working for? Across town at Marvel, maybe you'd be interested in Wolverine number 9. The title of this story is 3 Months to Die, which means things cannot be looking good for our favorite Grumpy Canuck. Over IDW, it's cartoon... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm bringing this in the wrong voice.
Cartoon Network Super Secret Crisis War number 1. Aku has gathered the greatest villains of the Cartoon Network to finally put an end to all this do-gooding stuff. What will happen when the worlds of the Powerpuff Girls, Ben 10, Samurai Jack, Dexter's Laboratory, and Ed and Eddie collide?
Obviously to be read in the voice of Mojo Jojo.
Send your complaints to...
then over here on the West Coast, Image Comics, it's Trees, number 2. Three seemingly unrelated locations, the Arctic, an Italian coast town, and a city in China, are where the future is being written, and the keys to the mystery lie deep in history. Then from Dark Horse, it's Dream Thief Escape number one. A follow-up to the acclaimed,
so dreamy.
A follow-up to the acclaimed miniseries. This story follows John Lincoln, who, when he sleeps, is possessed by avenging spirits, making his body an instrument of their vengeance.
Whoa,
that could be awkward.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Talk about sleepwalking. Am I right?
Yep.
Sleep revenging.
Mm-hmm.
Now I found that list, but before I get to that, we have a PSA.
Ooh.
Our friends at Rome Development remind the women of our community that the best defense against breast cancer begins with thorough clinical breast examination, a complete screening mammogram, and includes monthly self-exams. Remember, early diagnosis means that you'll have a greater chance for successful treatment. So schedule an appointment today at the clinic or hospital nearest you, and please remember, early detection is the best protection. This important reminder was courtesy of Rome Development here in Santa Clara, concerned with health and welfare of our community. They're on the air because they care.
All right. So, yes, it was RBI Baseball. Summer's definitely baseball season, so get your nostalgia fix with some old school baseball action. Embodying the feeling of 90s baseball games, RBI Baseball is a light alternative to the more hardcore baseball sims of this generation, which are like one or other game, maybe the show.
Yeah,
for PS4. So hey, Xbox owners, you get a baseball game. Woo-hoo. I don't know if this one's any good, but you got one. Then that zombie driving one is Zombie Driver. It's just you, your car, and a city full of zombies in Zombie Driver.
Pretty good.
Complete the vehicular combat, rescue survivors, and let off some steam on the hundreds of shambling pedestrians just asking to get run over or shot or blown up. Then we have Another World, a fast-paced, side-scrolling combat platformer. Another World is actually a remastering of a 16-bit classic, and now you can relive the iconic sci-fi adventure with new visuals and sound, whether it's your first time or you consider Another World a fond memory, you'll want to check this one out.
Yeah, it looks pretty slick, and it looks like it's a better, if you like the original and you liked Flashback, kind of the follow-up, this one is definitely more of the original. So
that style. And then finally, the one I'm very interested in, Contrast. This is the story of Dee Dee, a girl with an imaginary friend who can jump through shadows. Contrast uses light and shadows to create... It's challenging puzzles as your character jumps between the two planes. Lots of puzzles, a noir-style atmosphere, and some innovative gameplay combined to make Contrast a must-have, according to the description. And I do believe that one was released on the PS4 during launch, so it's nice to see it finally on the Xbox. Mm-hmm. I believe Zombie Driver was also on the PC before... I think both RBI Baseball is PS4 and Xbox One are both getting it. And Another World, for some reason, the PS4 version isn't out yet.
I think it dropped
on PS3, maybe. But yeah, for some reason, the PS4 version was absent from an article I read and what I saw. But I'm sure it'll get it soon enough, so... If you're hankering for it, you probably won't have to wait terribly long. Now, from video games and comic books to music.
Indeed.
Now we have, this is probably the most exciting news for Caleb. Because, Caleb, do you like disco?
Is that a trick question?
Do you like
disco? I love it. Says Caleb.
Interesting. Do you like horse meat?
And how?
Well, then boy, do I have a CD for you. Horse Meat Disco 4 from the band Horse Meat Disco. This is the fourth compilation of mixes by James Hillard, Luke Howard, Souvenirio Penzazetta, and Jim Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go to satisfy both your horse meat and your disco needs, Caleb.
And sequel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's four, so you can catch up on the others. Then we have Ed Sheeran's new album, X, a second full-length release for the British singer-songwriter, features collaborations and production from Benny Blanco, Johnny McDead, Pharrell Williams, and Rick Rubin. We also have Gus Gus' album, Mexico, the ninth full-length release, and its third for compact for the Icelandic electronic quartet, includes influences from a synth-pop, trance, and UK garage music. We also have Mastodon's new album, Once More Around the Sun. The sixth full-length release for the Grammy-nominated hard rock quartet was produced by Nick Raskolnikov. and finally, this one for Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Deadmau5.
Okay.
With Wild Math and Stuff.
okay.
Yeah. Look it up that way specifically. The latest release from Joel Thomas Zimmerman as the mouse head wearing Deadmau5 is a 25-track double LP featuring a How to Destroy Angels and Nine Inch Nails remix.
Hmm.
So there you have it. A small sampling of some music, some movies, some Blu-rays and DVDs, some video games, some comic books. We try to cover a little bit of everything that we can here at the beginning of Robots Attack. Now, what we're going to do, because that's a lot of information for your brain, and you want to absorb it all in, and we want to give you the chance to maybe participate even on that little bit.
Yes.
We're going to play some music, let you get down, let you get settled, before we come back with the news. Let's tease the folks some news, gentlemen.
A little more details about Nathan Fillion's thing in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Anime is coming to Netflix, except original this time.
Oh,
interesting.
Interesting.
Yes.
All right. Oh, Caleb,
mm-hmm.
How can they once again participate on the show while we go to this music break, which will be the band Downtown with the track Missing You from the album Downtown. Just look up Downtown, but don't put any O's in the search.
No O's? Oh.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't like O's.
They don't
it's like
it. It's like
Flickr without the E.
There you go.
Okay.
it's very mod.
Very Web 2.0.
It's true. There, yeah.
Very 2001, I should say. So the... if you wish to interact with us while we play the music that Joe mentioned, you can find us on Facebook. You can do a search for Robots Attack, two words, or go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow. Or you can find us on Twitter. We are robotsattackme, all one word. And then finally, it's robotsattackshow@gmail.com for our email address. And then robotsattack.me for links to everything I mentioned before and archive episodes of the show. Please interact with us.
Nice. All right, let's get to that music, and then we'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at robotsattackme. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
San Jose Animal Advocates, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for your pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right, we are now entering
news.
That's right, we are in the news back here on Robots Attack on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. Who has our first news story?
Okay, Netflix.
Netflix. Okay.
I don't know if you all were aware of this, but Netflix has a certain amount of anime on it.
I had noticed a certain amount of anime on it.
And I think people are excited about the animes in general, which led Netflix to actually develop its own anime.
Interesting.
Now, here's the sort of weird thing, though. They make this thing, and it's going to be released July 4th, but it was released first in Japan, minus Netflix.
Okay.
So Netflix made an anime, apparently, and it was released on television in Japan first, and now it's coming to the States on Netflix.
Maybe they were just a partner producer, and so it was, and part of the deal was that it would be released in Japan through broadcast first? Either way, it's interesting.
Yeah. And it sounds like the entire series has not aired in Japan yet, so it was basically just a week or so in advance. So now the entire series is landing on Netflix, so maybe that's kind of the big scoop. But still, Netflix officially is in the anime business, and you can check it out on July 4th.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Wow, that's very soon.
Yeah.
That's a Friday, next Friday, I think.
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
That's, hey, wow.
Crazy
Knights
Friday.
Of Cydonia, in case you were hoping to look for it. It's it's a giant robot space stellar anime with shooting and love.
And can't forget the love. There has to be love. It's all about the love.
Oh, and shape-shifting aliens.
Oh.
Well, that's... Wow. It's how many tropes can they push into one anime?
Oh, and did I mention the pilots are genetically altered?
Children?
Super children.
Ah! All right, man.
No, I don't know if they're actually children. That is not listed here, but genetically altered mech pilots. Most likely teens.
I think we have a trope bingo on this anime.
Ding, ding, check off list. Check. We don't have this. Find a way to put it in.
But yeah, if you're looking for more mecha, they're bringing it to you.
Very cool. Well, not relating to mecha at all, but still relating to science fiction and visual entertainment. It was floated around that Nathan Fillion would be making an appearance or guesting in some form or another in Guardians of the Galaxy, and there was rampant rumor that it would be as Nova, but that rumor was quickly squashed by the director. It turns out now he may be making an appearance as a different character.
As himself.
No.
As Castle from Castle? No. See,
best crossover ever.
Hear me out.
Okay.
ABC is Disney.
That is true.
Disney has Marvel. You think I'm crazy. Maybe I'm not.
It's true.
You're not quite crazy, but it's...
There's a Castle comic book too, right?
There is?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, man.
But unfortunately, that is not what the director has told us. He is going to be the voice of Cosmo, the psychic Russian cosmonaut dog, who makes a frequent appearance within the Guardians of the Galaxy comics.
Nice.
So, yes, when they've launched those poor puppies into space, some of them survived and are now psychic.
Well, it makes sense.
Mm.
Was it all the training beforehand, or was it the special space mission that caused it? Do we know?
That is the one. Since I have not read some of these issues, I am not positive exactly what makes the dog what made the dog go psychic. But
we need to do another one of your special episodes, except supporting cast.
That would be maybe I will need to look up the history of. The telepathic dog, Cosmo. But yeah, there's no one's entirely certain how much of a role he will play, but that is where he will end up in the thing, which is sort of also a kind of that tongue in cheek nod to the somewhat ridiculous grounding that the Guardians of the Galaxy sort of comes from. So
true. So from Guardians of the Galaxy to Ant-Man. I mean, robots attack.
Bring it.
If you know, we like to hit up the Ant-Man, which
we're,
I think I've said
one-stop every shop.
Yeah,
for Ant-Man pop.
Every time, none of us really here are all like that interested in Ant-Man. It's not like one of us are like, he is my favorite superhero character. It's just
was until all of these stories.
Yeah. Well, maybe this will change your mind. rumor claims to unmask Ant-Man movie villains.
Ooh.
There's been an update to the story, so I will read you the update because it would be kind of pointless to read the original story where it'll talk about rumors and then the update sort of like confirms things. So I'll just read the update. Like there was some stuff, oh, could it be Crossfire? I don't know who that is. But in the film, again, like I said, I don't really know Ant-Man. But apparently the update on June 20th, which I know it's June 26th, but you know, who cares? A new report claims that one of the villains in the Ant-Man movie is Yellow Jacket. But it won't be Harry Pym's Yellow Jacket. I was completely confused by that because I didn't know anything, but the villain in Ant-Man is Yellow Jacket. You'll note that this is way outside of comic canon, as Ant-Man, Hank Pym himself, was Yellow Jacket for a while. See, I was like, oh, okay, now I knew something that I didn't know anything about. He had a bunch of different super identities, with Yellow Jacket being one of the edgier ones, reports Badass Digest. I mean, if it's Badass Digest, they gotta know. Mm. This doesn't mean Hank Pym is the villain, as many have speculated in the past, as he won't be in the suit. Pym is much more of a mentor to Scott Lang in this film. So, there you go. Yellow Jacket. So, for all you Yellow Jacket fans out there, this is exciting for
that's
you.
That's a lot of buzz.
Oh,
jacket.
Please don't change the station.
So, yeah. buzz that's more welcome to me.
Buzz Aldrin?
Straight from the... No, not Buzz Aldrin. Oh. But from a place called BuzzFeed.
Oh, okay. That, okay.
Apparently, this has been confirmed through multiple sources. Pacific Rim 2 is officially happening.
Woo!
It has a release date, April 7th, 2017. So we'll have to wait a little while.
Mm.
It didn't do super well as far as the box offices here in the States. It did very well overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
So it's... is officially happening now. It's going to be pinned by Mr. Zach Pinn, a la X-Men The Last Stand, unfortunately, and Travis Beecham of the original Pacific Rim's fame.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the previous movie made just barely over $100 million when it cost nearly twice that to make. But oof. Now that it's raking in like DVD, Blu-ray sales and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those like people weren't sure about seeing it in theaters, but when you buy the disc, it like saves the movie in some ways.
Yeah, and I'm still looking forward to a director's cut of that also. I think that'll be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been confirmed it's going to have more or less the original cast,
cool.
Minus the people who died, obviously. Yeah. And I won't spoil it who died.
That's a little sad.
Yeah. It is. It is. Death is sad.
I'm going to miss that character.
You never know. Maybe they'll bring him or her back.
Right.
True. True.
But yeah, this is something that Guillermo del Toro has been lobbying for heavily, and he's been actually playing around with writing the script for this movie in between different photo or different productions, including what he's making right now, a movie that is going to be from his horror roots again, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
Crimson Peak. Ooh. Starring Tom Hiddleston.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of movie he ends up co-writing during a horror type film. I think it could be pretty interesting.
That would, it would definitely put a unique psychological spin on the Pacific Rim sort of storyline. That would be interesting.
Yeah. Hopefully there's a lot of interesting things that happen.
I look forward to it.
I'm interested.
I liked that movie a lot the first time around, so I wouldn't be upset if there was more.
Yeah, I won't lie. I'm a major fan of this. This is almost everything that I wanted from a movie that I didn't know that I wanted. And yeah, I was never into big monster movies all that much, but this definitely sold me. So I'm looking forward to a second one.
Very cool. Alrighty, so From giant monsters to keeping snooping monsters out of your cell phones.
Oh, nice.
The Supreme Court has handed down a decision that says that the law enforcement will need a warrant if they want to get into your cell phone if you've been arrested or have been detained. So, for a while there was people that were there was some questionable tactics being used against whether like someone's picked up for a minor offense and then they open up their phone like because they want to get them on something bigger, or someone is in the gray hat cryptographic community, which means that they are breaking websites, but they're also doing it in the name of good. So sometimes it's a little bit
the look on Jason's face.
it's a little bit odd on the terms of the side of the law, but it's also part of the security community. So like, there's some people that are unhappy about the way some of them do that, and which occasionally can make their entrance into the country or exiting the country a little bit odd or difficult. So
I'm so confused right now.
So yeah, basically if someone wants to open your phone to see who you've contacted, to see like, you know, if you have any odd affiliations or incriminating evidence on your device, they will now need a warrant to actually go in to or try to open it. So there you go.
So even if they've arrested you, they still have to get a warrant to.
Yeah, because so they can't just like put your phone on one of those decrypting, they like special devices that will like almost no matter what, if you plug the phone in, it will just dump the data onto this device. So they can grab it, so they can then go through it at their leisure. Now they can't just grab your data. So some people were very, very concerned about this. I think it's kind of cool that they actually are like saying, you know, this is like everything on your phone is sort of personal property. You can't just take that away from somebody, which is kind of interesting in the digital age, but yeah.
Yeah. I guess I end up with a slightly different perspective, having just watched the entirety of The Wire, where that's basically how they made entire cases, was by taking the cell phones off of different criminal masterminds. So it'll be interesting to see how it affects other areas of the law as well.
Yeah. The news I can tell, it doesn't stop them from getting the data. It just says you now have to, there's now a legal procedure for it.
Okay, here's an extra step.
Yeah, it's like, we think this guy is actually a criminal. We want to investigate his device. Okay, now we have these reasons to think this guy's committed other crimes beyond what we have pulled him, we've nabbed him for, so, or this person for.
Especially probably in something that case, like, oh, you're almost guaranteed you're this high kind of drug lord guy.
Mm-hmm.
It'll probably not be terribly difficult to get a warrant to search your phone.
It's actually a big part of that show I really recommend, because it's really interesting how many hoops they have to jump through for all of that stuff. But anyway, it's probably like classic for back then how things worked anyway, since cell phones were very fledgling back when that show was made. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, a lot of new tech too, like, doesn't exactly fit in certain categories of what's in the law. They have to make
a lot of amendments
and stuff. So anyway, so from phones and warrants and things of that nature to Shane Black's Predator will be a sequel, not a reboot. Huh. So for all these people who are going, no, Shane Black, don't reboot Predator. It's not a reboot. It's a sequel, apparently. The new Predator will be an inventive sequel. Following the recent news that director Shane Black will be remaking the classic 1987 alien action flick Predator for Fox, Black has explained that his Predator movie will be an inventive sequel, not a reboot. Speaking to Collider, Black said he and screenwriter Fred Dechter value the rich mythology that's already been introduced in previous Predator films. Why start over, the director said. Black explained that he and Dechter will be expanding and exploring the existing Predator mythology rather than hitting the restart button. So, yeah, earlier as we said, yeah, we're going to do another Predator movie. And people were like, oh, it's going to be a prequel. And then apparently it's not a prequel. it's a sequel, and
it's not quite so crazy anymore.
Yeah.
Or something.
In completely unrelated news, Sir Ben Kingsley will be available for that movie.
It is so weird. It's like, there are some people like, but that's weird that he was in the movie. And so how could he possibly know what, like, Predator was good?
Yeah, or not neutral. I don't know.
Well, it's just people were like, what? That guy? And like, what? The guy who's in the movie.
Yeah, who's been director on several other films.
Written like Lethal Weapon and classic 80s and early 90s movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. It's like,
he's done a lot more than just be a bit part in an action flick.
Well, no, it's like, okay. It's like, Caleb, how the hell would you know about Caleb Fong's life? Why would you write a movie about that? He was in the movie. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons they brought him on is they actually asked him when he was on set if he would do rewrites of some of the stuff. It's like, nah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like that's a pretty good choice. Like, get someone who was actually involved in the original
production.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah, it would be nice to expand. Mm-hmm. Actually on the Predator's mythology than just the kind of what we've seen in the Aliens versus Predator movies or mm-hmm. Predators, which was like a little bit more, but
yeah, I rather enjoyed Predators. So if they kind of like take some of that bend, that would be kind of cool. Maybe not like whole cloth, but
yeah,
I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, I just hope there's a surprise, like it's not a Predator under the mask. That's what I'm waiting for.
It's Ben Kingsley.
I hope it's Ben Kingsley. I have a feeling it's going to be somebody else, but
it's going to be Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Nice. Okay, that would be perfect.
Because he was the original Predator.
There you go.
So that'll be the whole gag. They're going to get Jean-Claude Van Damme to be the Predator. Go back, search YouTube. You can see some footage of him running around in a little bit of the costume and some like fake little things. It's pretty hilarious.
I'll have to look that up. That sounds pretty awesome.
And just so you know, if you're tuning through the dial and you're like, what's going on? Well, you're on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound, on Robots Attack, in the news. And I think Jason has our next news story?
I do. We were speaking earlier of global warming, and somebody...
What?
...is prepared. They're breeding chickens. ...that have no feathers.
What?
Well, believe it or not, it's actually a problem. Like, chickens will overheat and die if they get too warm. And so,
okay.
Preparing for the future... A special heat-resistant chicken with no feathers is being bred at the University of Delaware. It appears to be just as creepy, if not creepier, than hairless cats.
Yeah, I was gonna say that sounds visually disturbing.
Yeah. It's quite not... possibly the creepiest thing that I've ever seen. I highly encourage you to go to our webpage and check it out. I am sending it there as we speak.
Wow.
To our Facebook?
Yes.
Robots Attack Show. Search on there. We'll have the links. You can check out. We post on our Facebook page and Twitter links to all of our stories. A lot of time. There's cool pictures or disturbing pictures or videos.
Or what have you.
Bald chickens.
Yeah. Look what you've done to Mr. Biggle Cluck. or something like that. Alrighty, so shall I round it out with a robot story? Do you have one that you would like to pass along?
Robot us.
Yeah, give us a robot. I'll just go after you.
Okay, that works. The oncoming robot and take over the world is, you know, many people think that it's imminent, and others think that it's going to be more like Star Wars, where it's a companionship, mm-hmm. where the coexistence is not a is a better idea than outright destruction. And there are
those people are crazy.
There's a few that are pushing forward, helping to bridge the human cyborg relations, even in the current age. And one of those is Dr. Angelica Lim, and she's done a group of talks, and her whole mission is to try and help people understand robotics and what robots mean to the world around us, and also helping us to, once we understand it, to then be able to build the trust that it takes to work and live with a robot. Because one thing she mentioned is that one of the reasons why we don't have more robots in the home is because there isn't the level, there's not an intrinsic human trust of these devices yet.
Mm. We're robophobic.
Yes, to steal a line.
Here in the United States.
From RoboCop, yes. Why is America so robophobic? It's she also is writing academic papers about this as well for the IEEE Spectrum Automaton Robotics online magazine, and also she works with a couple of robotics groups to help them make their robots more respond to humans in a way that will help them trust, so that we can start, you know, introducing the robot into places where it normally has been sort of people a little bit edgy about how they feel about it.
I think my subscription to that magazine lapsed. didn't get that copy.
But just missed it.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people out there are scared.
No. Mm-hmm. Once she conquers the fear of robots, she's going to work on bald chickens.
She's going to reveal that she is a robot herself, and it was all an entire plan to get robots.
Get people to accept her.
And, yeah.
Which is touching and heartfelt.
Cue and the soon, touching heartfelt music.
Soon to be a major motion picture.
On Lifetime.
And an anime series.
Right.
Oh, wait. There's already several of those.
On Lifetime.
And Keanu Reeves is going to play the Doctor.
That's cool.
Whoa.
So, from robots becoming more accepting in our lives to virtual reality.
What?
Specifically, Oculus VR is acquiring the Xbox 360 controller design team.
Oh.
They announced they will acquire the Carbon Design Group, the team behind the 360's controller and Kinect peripheral. The Carbon Design Group has worked on a number of notable products for Microsoft, including the Arc Touch Mouse and the 360 Racing Wheel, as well as the 360's controller's eventual transforming D-pad. In the acquisition announcement, Oculus pointed out that it has been working with Carbon for almost a year on a number of unreleased projects.
Traitors!
Maybe robots. Maybe robots that are going to be in our homes. And
yes.
Quote, this is an entirely open product category, says Peter Bestall, creative director at Carbon Design. With consumer VR at its inception, the physical architectures are still unknown. We're on the cutting edge of defining how virtual reality looks, feels, and functions. The acquisition of Carbon Design pulls a number of high-profile hires for Facebook-owned Oculus VR, which includes a former VR engineer from Valve, a senior art director who worked on Halo 4, and Naughty Dog co-founder Jason Rubin. So Oculus...
There he went.
It's taken some... Sounds like some solid steps in the right directions to get the Rift going. I mean, that's a pretty good...
They got some pretty big industry leaders here.
I mean, you know, no bias or anything, but man, the 360 controller is a good controller. So they can get that team to help them designing their VR set.
As long as there's no D-pads on the VR set.
That's true.
That was their one weakness.
Made of entire D-pads. Well, you can blame Nintendo for that. But. In theory, you know, the whole like, we own this particular D-pad style. You can't do it that way or something. I don't know.
Oh, you know,
the rumors, the speculations,
the patents, the
robots in the Nintendo corporations. You know, it's a Lifetime movie waiting to just be happen for Netflix.
So wait, I mean, that's interesting, but did Sony pay for that?
I don't know. Okay. I have no information. I just hear things and I say them on the radio.
Well, I appreciate the things that I heard you hear and
from. If you know out there for certain, let us know. Caleb, how can they do that?
You can let us know on Facebook or do a search for Robots Attack or facebook.com/robotsattackshow. Take you right there. Or you can hit us up on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me, all one word. And robotsattackshow@gmail.com is the place for emails.
That's right. And now we have a PSA.
Yes. Sponsored by the City of Santa Clara's Cultural Commission, Breaking Out of the Box art exhibition opened April 17th, 2014. The exhibition, juried by members of the Cultural Commission and staff from the Triton Museum of Art, fills the corridors of City Hall with a wide variety of beautiful and thought-provoking sculptures. Admission is free, and the Triton Museum of Art is conveniently located across the street. Stop by and enjoy the lovely works of art by some of the finest artists in Northern California. For more information and operating hours, call 408-615-2210.
All righty. That's going to do it for news. We are going to take another music break and then come back with Geek Talk, where we kick back for a bit and just talk about some stuff, free balling, as you will.
Yes.
Free balling that Geek Talk.
I think, I'm not sure that means what you think it means.
Well, I'm using that word. I do not think that's what you think it means.
I'm taking it over.
Right.
You're on Robots Attack. All right, let's get to that music. I'm going to play the band Herzog. The track Full Stick from the album Boys.
Free ballin'.
Free ballin'. Oh. All right, we'll be back right after this. And maybe another song and stuff. But you just stick around. There's more Robots Attack. You know you love it.
It'll be good.
And it's good, and we like you for doing it.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are in Geek Talk, and I'm Joe, and I'm going to start us off. Woo. I saw Edge of Tomorrow. If you're unfamiliar with that movie, it stars Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt. A lot of people don't like Tom Cruise. They don't particularly care for him. So I think that probably had a negative impact on the ticket sales for this movie, which is a shame because I thought it was extremely fun.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually perfect for this movie. His character is like, if you don't like Tom Cruise, it's the perfect character. If you do like Tom Cruise, it's a good character. Emily Blunt is excellent. And it was just a lot of fun. Like, I was surprised, and I think it's a must-see. I highly recommend it. It's not going to change the landscape of sci-fi films, but it was way better than I thought it would be, and actually had, like, some solid characters. The two of them worked well together, and
I've been hearing good things about it also, despite its somewhat slumping ticket sales. I've heard that the movie itself is actually rather good.
Is thrown off, especially with a sci-fi movie, is like, this isn't really a spoiler, but you're fighting aliens. They don't really talk a whole lot about the aliens. Like, usually in a sci-fi movie, you get to the alien stuff like pretty fast, or they show them off, or like they're a big presence. In this, they're a big presence, but it's more about like the characters and sort of the the ability that he inherits. And that's that's another thing, like, is it's he ends up sort of having like a Groundhog Day kind of ability where he can repeat like the day over and over again every time that he dies.
Right.
And they do a really good job with that. Like, it's, I can imagine that being difficult to pull off because you don't want to keep like retreading the same scenes over and over again. You're like, okay, but they do a good job of how they handle it, especially with Tom Cruise's character who, excuse me, he plays a guy who is like, he sort of advertises for the army, but he's not really like, I think he's a captain or major or something. I forget what his role is, but he's not like a military guy. He's just like, he's
an officer's rank, but he's not a
yeah. He's soldier. He's just all about like, yeah, you know, he's like sort of the poster child, like, you know, get people to recruit and help spread the good news and all that sort of stuff. And then he finally kind of gets sort of put in and he like figures out a way to try and get out of it. And he's just totally like, he's not where he's typical, like Tom Cruise action hero character, like Mission Impossible or anything else that he's usually in. He's like not that character. He eventually sort of becomes that character again. That's not really a spoiler because you see that in the trailer, but they do a really good job with that. Especially Emily Blunt is like a badass, one of the better like female characters in movies lately. Like, if you look at all the things that people have sort of complained or check off with female characters, she does, they do a good job with her. She's not just a throwaway like character.
That's cool.
It's good. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. And so you'll probably have to wait till Blu-ray or DVD. I don't really know if it's in the theater anymore.
But you might be able to catch it at some of the smaller theaters that pick up the second rounds of films.
Yeah, and even then, it's like, it doesn't, you know, you could still see it in one of those theaters, and, you know, as long as the seat doesn't have, like, a spring hitting you in the back or something, it, you know, it should be fine.
Cool. So. Very cool. See, I'll start with saying we went to go see How to Train Your Dragon 2. Excellent movie.
Oh, okay.
I really liked the characterizations in it, and one of the things that I really liked is there wasn't a lot of exposition dumping.
Oh, okay.
They actually did a really good job of expressing time has passed, relationships have changed with the way the characters actually were interacting.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which I really appreciate, because like, there's nothing worse than movies or shows that begin with a whole bunch of exposition dump.
Yeah.
Like the first 5 minutes, here's everything you need to know about our movie. Now you've been fed. Now let's make the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in sci-fi or fantasy, it's like, they're almost not forced, but they tend to have to do a lot of that because it's not a world you're familiar with, quote unquote, you know? Yeah. So
a lot of news happening in the background and stuff like that.
Yeah. This one, I think, handled that, the expositioning really well. And also, again, the strength of the film really comes from the characters and the actors playing the characters. Like, they all did a really good job of emoting and creating really likable, believable personalities.
That's cool.
And it was still funny and heartfelt. Like, it, all the things that I liked about the first movie showed up here.
Okay.
Maybe just a little bit bigger, a little bit different. No spoilers, but I really highly recommend seeing it. It was a lot of fun.
Do you like it as much as the first one?
Yes.
A little better, or less, or
I like it as much, if not a little bit more.
Oh, okay.
So cool. It's definitely one of those sequels that does what it should, where it's like, here's the story, this is the continuation of the story, but we're doing something different with it while still like, it's what you know, but it's not the same. So
okay, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
The first one was like, and I think probably for a lot of people, it was kind of a surprise hit, like how good it actually was.
Yes.
You know, you think like, well, it's not Pixar or
from
your typical place, but like, whoa, that was really good. So that's good to hear that the sequel is good.
And honestly, I'm a little bit sad to hear that they are also not doing exceedingly well at the box office right now. Folks, I can't tell you to go do this,
but
I really enjoyed it. And I think
you can tell them to go do it.
No,
you're allowed to.
Technically,
KSU says we can't. So, and it's not KSU; it's the FCC that says we can't. So, but that's a different issue. But, anyways, I give it my personal think it's a pretty rad statement.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So then I will then move on, because this will perfect into your next thing after mine is, I've been playing Watch Dogs.
Ah.
Finally got a copy from Gamefly, and I'm not too far into it.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of, and I think you'll get on with the understanding of this. Like, I liked the original Assassin's Creed.
Yes.
But you can kind of tell, like, okay, this is, you could maybe say a tech demo, or, you know, it's like, it's laying some groundwork for some good stuff, but you kind of repeat a lot of the same things, and there's just, you kind of hope for some more. And then when the sequel came out, like, okay, this is a lot better. Like, they introduced a lot more, and so, and it kind of got better and sort of better. Some argue maybe some of the others, not quite as good as the others, but, you know, it's, Watch Dogs, I would say, I kind of look at it sort of the same way. It has a better foundation than I would say Assassin's Creed, just because of the other games that it's kind of built upon. But it kind of gives me that feeling of, like, I'm thinking the sequel, which, since I think it sold like 4 million copies in the first week or something like that, there's going to be a Watch Dogs 2. I think the sequel will be able to do a better job. Like, there's a lot of neat things, and I'm having a fun time with it, but there are stuff that's, like, I'm not terribly far in the campaign, but, like, right now, like, the main guy isn't really all that interesting, and it's sort of weird. Like, his backstory is, like, he was, like, would break into things and, like, steal things and that sort of thing. So not like a good guy.
Right.
And his niece ends up getting killed. And so, like, he's kind of out for revenge on that. So it's kind of strange, like, from his perspective of, like, I was doing these bad stuff.
Something bad happened.
Yeah, like, I was doing these bad things, so I'm not really a good guy. And then this bad thing happened to me. And so now, like, I want to go get my revenge. So it's a little weird, like, it's not a good thing that your niece died, but you're, like, not exactly a good guy. Like, you kind of brought some of this stuff on yourself. It's not, you know, it wasn't just like he was out walking one day with his niece and a car, you know, hit her and stuff like that. And it was, you know, he pet puppies and gave to charity, that sort of stuff. But, so that's a little strange. And, there's, like, the hacking is cool. There's some stuff that needs, I think, a little bit of tweaking. It just, again, I think it's sort of like the Assassin's Creed thing. It's got a solid foundation and it does some neat stuff. But I think the sequel and whatever they sort of do with it, it'll give them a chance to kind of smooth things out. Hopefully, I don't know how this one ends, but, like, maybe have a different, more interesting protagonist. Like, I've been thinking, I know Ubisoft isn't listening to this, but, man, if they want to talk to me, I have, like, an awesome idea for a character and, like, what to do next. So I would love to talk to them and do that, but I know it's not going to happen, I still say it's worth playing. If you can get a chance to get a hold of it, play some, it's like still fun if you, like that sort of Assassin's Creed kind of style. It's the closest thing that I can kind of compare to, because you do different stuff. You don't have the, like, climbing and parkour abilities of an assassin. So that's a little different. You have to kind of, like, manipulate things. Like, one of the cooler things is just hacking into different cameras and then using those cameras to jump to camera to highlight people. And so in situations, you can kind of even, like, hang outside of a building, jump into a camera, find, like, a security guard, and, like, hack his explosive and cause it to go off, or hack his phone and have it, like, start going off and making noise so it distracts him, so you can, like, sneak around a corner, or you can, like, interact with other little environments. So it's kind of, like, it's neat. Like, I didn't even have to go in the building to take everyone out. Like, I just hopped cameras. So that's kind of a
It's a different way of doing the situation. That's very cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, right now, cool game, but not, like,
Not fully baked yet.
Not incredible. Not as like when it was first shown off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it quite lived up to that, you know, what it was hoping to. But I think with the sequel, it should kind of smooth things out, I would think.
Yeah. Very cool.
I'm hoping it's just building towards a really good Ghost in the Shell video game, but that's just me.
That would be sort of rad, too. I would definitely check that one out. So that leads into, since I was not available for our second round of E3 coverage, which was the third parties and Xbox, I thought I'd chime in a little bit. I'm not going to say a whole lot about specifics. Mostly I'm going to talk about the things that I'm seeing that I really like. I'll start with The Division, because The Division looks amazing. Like, when I see that game played, I'm like, yes, that right there. Give it to me now. Take my money. That and that style of gameplay, that idea of highly cooperative yet still competitive aspects of the game world. I think that is like, yes, this is like what I've been wanting games to do for a long time now. My next like pie in the sky dream is to have them all actually talk to each other. So if it doesn't matter what platform you're on, but that's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
But still, I think that this that and game and like, you know, Destiny and there's other ones like where it's like where you feel like you're part of a larger world. So it's not unlike the real world, but it's still a more fun version of the world you sort of know, kind of thing, and you can interact with it the way sort of you want to, not necessarily, and like move over to this piece of cover. Now throw your grenade onto this location. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just it's nice that now they essentially give you a toolbox and a project blue and a project space, and then you go out and do your thing. So I really am enjoying that aspect of and that change, and those are the things I'm like really excited for in the next round of gaming is the idea of bringing all your friends together to play the game. Yeah, is just that's I'm super stoked for that, and I'm glad that a lot of companies look like they're kind of bringing together lots of team and lots of ways to bring people in that aren't necessarily sitting at a console. Like, here's an app for your smart device. Yeah, click this, join the game, do a few things. Oh, we got my bus is here. I need to run. Yeah, and drop out. You know, they're really adapting gaming for the way that we sort of live our lives now, which I think is kind of rad.
Yeah, yeah. One thing I'll quickly mentioned to wrap up Geek Talk, we're going back sort of Watch Dogs, an element to it is you can turn it on or off. You can leave it on so that you can be hacked or hack other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it happen and I've done it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple different things you can do. The one that did is where you can actually like, you go into someone's game and you appear as just an NPC and you have to like, you find them and then you place like a backdoor on their phone and then you have to like just sort of hide while you're downloading data from them. And it's what they do is like you have sort of a separate like XP for like online.
Uh-huh.
And as you fill that up, you hit like rewards. So you get different rewards. Mm-hmm. So if you lose that or gain more, it doesn't affect your like regular game per se, you know, your single player experience. So, and if you're jumping into someone's game, if you kill them, like you lose, like you lose any of the data. So they separate. Huh. So like you basically have to like hide and not like in kind of intrude on their game or like the best you can, and they have to try and find you.
Smart.
Like, so I had it happen to me. A guy jumped in and he immediately hit me with the car. And so at first I was like, what the heck? And at first I was like, okay, an NPC hit me with a car. That actually doesn't surprise me because some of them can be really stupid when they're driving. They'll crash into a lot of stuff. Like, I'll just hear these random explosions and crashes. And I said, heard it in GTA and this. So I'm like, okay, it doesn't surprise me. But so I got hit and I'm like, what the heck? And then I see him get out and start booking it. Like down, I'm like, oh, I just got hacked. And then the thing like popped up. And it's like, you know, I got, because he has to, he or she has to pop in, put the back door on me first, and then it tells me that I'm being hacked. And then there's like a percentage that'll slowly go up as they are taking more of my data. But they have to stay like, we have to stay somewhat close. Yeah, there's like a sphere that pops up on the map. So we can't just like pop in and run all the way down to the other end of the map. They have, we have to stay in somewhat close proximity. So like, I'm trying to find this guy, but he doesn't look like Aiden Pierce. He looks like an NPC. So I'm going around, but what he's doing is like, he's using a bunch of the abilities. He the first thing he does is turns on a blackout. So it knocks out all the power everywhere. Then he like overloads some transformers, blows some stuff up, some cars crashes. So he's creating all this chaos to, you know, throw me off. So I'm like, okay, I know you're around here somewhere. So I'm going around, I'm using my phone scanning. It's like, not the hacker, not the hacker. Cause it, you know, it'll pick up on normal people. And then, so I'm looking at him like, man, where is this guy? Where is this guy? Then he or she got into a car and but got sort of stuck like in this chaos that they'd created, and my tracker went over it and it was in purple. And there's something, there he is. And then what happens is when you find them, then your job is to kill them and their job is to escape. And so I was like, all right, this is on. So I ran and grabbed a car that was in the chaos and it has like GTA, there's a radio, there's songs and stuff like that. There's a playlist of music and everything like that. And so I get in and it pops on like not really any song that like I don't dislike or really like. It's like some Rise Against song or something like that, that I'm sure if you listen to Live 105, you've heard it before. And so like, but it like kicks on and it, it just fit, like the opening of it just fit the perfect moment of me getting in, slamming my car door shut, and just taking off down the road, chasing after this guy. We're both booking it. It's like, like, oh, getting this guy chasing after him. He's trying to hit this, crashing. And then some semis, he gets stuck, like in kind of in between these two semis in there. And so I'm driving up, like hitting him and stuff like that. And then the person like backed out or did something. So they like, They left the game before I get it. They sort of cheated or did something, but I didn't get any of my data taken away from me. So like I wasn't punished. He was, he or she basically like, escaped without. So I ended up giving him negative feedback, but, but anyway, it was a cool experience. And so it's neat, like having something like that, that will, it's sort of forcing you to not really be like a dick and like jump in and like shoot you while you're trying to do stuff. It's like you actually have to be like sneaky and like hide and do stuff, and then it doesn't really become you know, kill until like it's up to you on your turn to stop that guy, and they have to basically run, like they can't if they hurt you in any, you know, kill you in any way, like they lose. So it's in their best interest to hide. So when it was my turn to do it, what I did was I got in a car, and you can hide in your car by pushing the B button. So I did that, and I watched the guy like run around this park trying to find me. Like, I didn't know it would work. I was just like, I parked. I was like, okay, I have to pretend to be like an NPC. Be like an NPC. Be like an NPC. Parked. Okay. Oh, shoot. He's getting close. He's going to find me. He's going to find me. I'm going to start the car and drive off. Ran around. Okay. All right. All right. Time. Watching my time go. Yes. Yes. Come on. Come on. 80%. 81. 82. Wait. Oh, he's coming again. He's coming again. He's going to find me. Run again, running. I could just tell this person was all like, where the heck is this guy? It says he's somewhere around in here. So I'm, and here I'm in this black car, like hiding sort of like kind of off on the curb. I was afraid to like back out and park it like normally. It's like, if I move, maybe he'll notice that. I'm like, no. So yeah, it's, there's definitely some cool little moments like that, but.
That's cool.
That's a nice touch.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear about stuff like that, because so far, everything that I've heard that people have been talking about how interesting the game is, it just sounds like basically just perving out on NPCs' lives. And it's...
Yeah, there's...
It's weird to me.
There, yeah.
That's what's coming through so much more than this stuff.
Yeah,
that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, there's...
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely some negative elements to it. It is weird. Like, it's neat that you can, when you sort of scan people, like with your phone, mm-hmm. like, to get little personal information about them. So like if you see like, hey, I could hack this person's bank account. Oh, they're like, you know, lost a leg to this or have AIDS or, you know, something like sort of negative. It makes you kind of like, oh, maybe I won't take their money. Cause like you could see their income and like, they don't make very much. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, this guy is associated with racist groups. Yeah. I'm going to take his money. Like,
yeah.
You know, but it is sort of weird that a lot of that stuff, and a lot of people in the game, it's like a lot of the negative aspects of humanity. So mm-hmm. it's kind of, I don't know, it can be sort of like, this is sort of depressing in a sense.
Yeah.
It's so much like poking and jabbing, like, haha, this person likes going to these conventions. Like everything is kind of a negative, like even when it's really like, that's not really a negative. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but the
dystopian aspect of it is very high. There's not a lot of like hopeful, positive energy coming.
Yeah,
through.
And it doesn't need to be that way. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I hope in the next one they take that system, which is a cool idea, I think, but just make it a little more human, like give it a little more humanity to it, I think, than just mm-hmm. this kind of like cliched. Two-dimensional or one-dimensional, like,
yeah, because like that's one of the things about like the Assassin's Creed games is like, while they might be misguided, they at least had a sense of nobility. It sounds like this game abandoned any sense of nobility amongst the characters.
Yeah, it's like in GTA has all of that, but like the world that sort of GTA
exists.
Rockstar creates,
mm-hmm.
it fits. So it's like the citizens and the people, it's like everything is just so hyper and weird. And so it like, it just fits. But in mm-hmm. this, it's like, it's trying to be more reality, but still take some of that. And so it just, it's a little weird, like little disheartening kind of, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It still has fun elements to it. I'm still liking playing it and want to play more of it, but.
There's aspects of the game that if they would be just a little bit different would be kind of rad.
Yeah. But speaking of rad things.
Want to listen to KSCU even when you're not near a radio? ?
Do I?
Stream us whenever you want at www.kscu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound.
And Stop It Now is a website which offers advice on how adults can prevent child sexual abuse. The site includes warning signs to look for, a family safety plan, and everyday actions that can help keep kids safe. More information is available at stopitnow.org. All right, I say now, we go into...
You are now entering the core.
That's right. We're in the core, and Caleb has some topics for us to discuss.
Right. First thing I'm going to bring up is a mentioning of a story that we've kind of talked about before. There was a very cool little service called Aereo, and what it did was they would set up
lawbreakers.
They set up speed wagons.
No, that's REO. This is Aereo.
I see what you did.
I think I made that joke last time.
You might have.
Just bringing people back.
Right.
It's called callback. But they have caught the attention of the legal departments of pretty much all the major networks. And up until this point, they have been winning all the cases that has been brought against them. And so finally, it's been now pushed. It was pushed up to the Supreme Court to decide whether Aereo is actually fit to run. Is it actually, you know,
legal?
100% legal.
All that internet money they were making was getting them all those wins, huh? Right?
Something like that.
Yeah. Bling, bling.
The
or is it ka-ching, ka-ching?
The bling, bang?
Bling, ka-ching.
Derp, derp. No. The the unfortunate side is that the Supreme Court decision has been put against Aereo. It is a 6-3 judgment in favor of the existing establishment of networks. The article I linked to has a little bit better, a little more in-depth information about how this all works and why it's kind of sort of digs into it a little bit more. The main thing is that unfortunately this means that Aereo is basically dead in the water. With this decision, there's no way they can continue or no way they can grow. And there's a number of people that are kind of concerned about this because it will, there's some that are afraid that this will actually also create a chilling effect on other forms of innovation, because if the hammer of law is brought against this, was brought against Aereo in this way and with these clauses, then, you know, it's hard, it will be more difficult to get investors to create the next, to invest in the next version of television, the next way we distribute media across the planet. And so
did they give a reasoning to, like, why? Because I remember before when we talked about it, we were kind of like, we tried to look at both angles. Like, mm-hmm. Did they give a better example of?
Yeah, it's the kicker is what's known as the transmit clause in the copyright law for broadcasters. And Aereo tried to follow that by making it one antenna for one user, and it only worked if the user had an address within the reception signal area of the broadcaster. And any DVR recordings were only ever available to that single user. That's what they tried to do, that's what they were doing, and it was a one-to-one. So it's like, it's not as if they were trying to distribute it.
The other side's argument, I think, was the one that we were kind of like, we were trying to either see it from their side or get like what exactly they were saying, like, no, this is why this shouldn't be here. Did they ever give kind of a?
They were sent the see. Insofar as there are differences, those differences concern not the nature of the service Aereo provides so much as the technological manner in which it provides the service. They conclude that the differences are not adequate to place Aereo's activities outside the scope of a particular act. Let me look at the name. See if I can find that real quick. But there's a specific aspect of copyright. Transmission copyright that has to do with that also brought in a different court decision that was designed to limit what people could do with broadcasted content. Sorry, I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. It's a little bit challenging. But the
choose.
But basically the argument that a lot of the, near as I can tell, what it was is that there was, they didn't see what Aereo was doing as being different than what cable was doing, and other than it being a different technology. And so since cable and all this stuff already sort of exist, then it's sort of like Aereo is trying to go an end around these companies.
Okay.
I'm not describing it very well. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I forgive you.
Let's see.
Yeah, because I was just wondering, because I remember the last time when we talked about this, we were trying to see, like, okay, what's the other side's argument to this? Was there some sort of law, copyright law, that we didn't know about? Like, remember, Jason, we were like...
I remembered at the time, but it's completely blanking on me now, to be honest.
I mean, I know we didn't have the answer. We were just like, we were trying to think of, like, okay, what's the argument for the other side? Is it like... You know,
yeah, I think I found the quote here. Okay. From this is a quote from the decision from the Supreme Court. We cannot now answer more precisely how the transmit clause or other provisions of the Copyright Act, that's the act that we're talking about earlier, apply to technologies not before us. So they, like, when they wrote this stuff, that was back in the 80s, mm-hmm. 87, 88, and so, like, you know, they agree that the questions involving cloud computing and remote storage and other issues are not what they're talking about. Like, so these aspects of Aereo are okay, but another novel issue is not before the court. As such, Congress has not plainly marked the cause, and they are waiting for the basically what it comes down to is the main argument was that Aereo's transmission of the received data from the antenna across mm-hmm. the internet to the user, because it crossed the internet, was basically, it comes down to, that was a public performance, a re-performance of this signal, okay. despite the fact that no other person could get into that person's account unless they had, were in their house and had a device and were watching it with them. It's something
with the signal and
because it crosses,
getting a hold of it, and
yeah, but know, the internet in between the user and the antenna is basically where the industry put its hung its hat, saying this is the problem space, because when it does this, it's open to anybody, it's a public thing, and it's like, and like one of the three judges that voted against it being like this was saying that, like, this is kind of silly, because when you're broadcasting the signal over the air, it's also a public thing. And they're not doing anything different. They're just making the cord between the antenna and their house longer, effectively. So, but apparently the claim fails. He said the claim fails at the outset because Aereo does not perform at all. The court manages to reach opposite conclusion only by discarding widely accepted rules for service provider liability and adopting in its place an improvised standard, which is, in quotes, looks like cable TV. That's like the standard that they were using, and will sow confusion for years to come. I happen to agree with this particular statement, not just because I would prefer Aereo to exist, but because that actually makes a degree of sense. Because, like, the main thing is that Aereo was, they were saying it's like cable, but it's not playing by the same rules that cable is. And so, because it doesn't look different enough from cable, it should be like cable. And because it's not, they're not going to let it. It breaks the Copyright Act and the transmit clause. So, I'm personally confused by this decision myself, but yeah. It's one of those, like, Aereo, we barely knew you. You were in, like, five locations, and it sounded like you were doing quite well for yourself. And people that were actually within cable industry were investing in this because it was sort of rad. Barry Diller was one of the major investors in Aereo. He's part of CNBC, I believe. Now, Barry Diller's just big into media in general. And they had a bunch of fairly high-level, highfalutin media people saying, this is a really cool thing. We should support this, or we should help it grow. And others said, no, this is a very bad idea, and it's eating away our profits. And when a lot of the stuff was also like... Their very first challenge to Aereo was that they couldn't track viewership of Aereo because it went over the internet. They couldn't say, "Oh, there's no one at this antenna. We can't watch. We can't know what they're doing. There's no Nielsen for this. Well, Nielsen evolved, and now they have a Nielsen aspect. There's an aspect of the Nielsen system that says, oh, yeah, you watch it over the internet. Right. Or you're connecting to it via a non-direct antenna or non-cable connection.
Okay.
So it's like they're trying to use old rules to define a new thing, mm-hmm. and the new thing is like, no, we're actually following your rules as best we can, but I don't know. It just doesn't quite work out, and
I mean,
it's very sad.
I guess in a positive way, like mm-hmm. maybe this will shed more. Maybe people will find out about this because of the negative aspect that happened, and maybe it'll come back in just another iteration or some other thing like, hey, mm-hmm. that was actually a really cool idea. Like let's try this or this, you know, it's,
yeah. I really hope that they can find a way to resurrect this concept, because this is a really cool idea. And honestly, it's more in line with how people consume media in general. And from what I remember, like from some of the interviews that the CEO has given, and he's like, he sees this company as something of a stopgap measure, because he's like, in the long run, the long game, broadcast over the air sort of fades in general, and it's all going to be over the internet.
Mm.
I'm just kind of helping people bridge that space until it's all over the internet. But I don't know. Until such time as that exists.
Yeah. Well, it seems to be, unfortunately, the way of a lot of things that are, that would be really cool, but it keeps getting stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not on like Napster and some of the earlier file trading in general on the internet. People are like, you know, kind of panic about about piracy,
or just like new tech, new ways of getting energy or things like that. Like, oh no, we can't do that.
We can't sell music online. That's crazy. You have to go buy this silver thing and put it in a special device, and then it makes the sounds that go to your ears. Yeah.
Maybe if Netflix makes a Lifetime original movie anime version of this story, maybe that will help.
Right.
Get it out there. But
it'll star the cheerleader from Heroes.
You never know. Maybe that's what Heroes Reborn actually is.
Right.
That's really what it's all about.
The Aereo Speedwagon story.
Yeah. And they'll get them to do a new song, and they'll play them. Yeah, it'll be awesome. Well,
wagons will be had.
Wagons mm-hmm. will definitely be rolling and trucking along.
And freeballing.
And freeballing as wagons do. All right. I think that's going to do it for Robots Attack tonight. Mm-hmm. It was a good show. I think we've educated and entertained the folks out there. Hopefully, if you're still driving or sitting down somewhere or standing or jump roping or
something.
Or strolling.
There you go, strolling. Yeah. Freeballing, right? Or
romping.
Romping. On this. If you're on a speed wagon, you know.
If you're romping around on a speed wagon,
we would definitely love to hear about that, and we'd like to hear your thoughts on
the untimely demise of Aereo, or potential and the demise. What do you see the future of television being? Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
right.
That's a good question to leave to the folks. And any of the other news stories or geek talks that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talks that I mentioned in that talk sentence.
Yes,
for the talk radio show on here. On KSU
all
Santa Clara.
Talking you can handle.
All right, so let's give them one last roundup of how they can participate. Even though the show, you're like, well, the show's all over. I can't. It's too late for me to participate. No, it's not.
Never too late. Never.
Never.
Never say never.
Don't let the speedwagon convince you otherwise.
It's true.
If you wish to get in contact with us, if you want to give us your opinions, your thoughts about any of the subjects we've discussed or things you would like us to cover, you can find us on Facebook. You can do search for Robots Attack, two words, or better yet, just go direct to our page, facebook.com/robotsattackshow. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is robotsattackme. It's all one word. And then there's ye olde email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And that, and then, oh, can't forget, robotsattack.me, the one place to find links to all the other things we have described, links to previous episodes. If you want to catch up on our E3 coverage, it's all there.
That's right. Two shows worth.
Boom. Two shows full of awesome.
Back to back.
Back to back.
Oh, yeah.
Blabbering about video games.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. It was fun. Mm-hmm. All right. That's going to do it for tonight's show. We'll be back next week from the new summer hours, 6 to 8 o'clock.
That's right.
Have a wonderful weekend. Do some fun stuff or do something nice for somebody, especially if they least expect it. Mm-hmm. That's even better. Then they're like, well, I was expecting you to do something nice. I mean, I appreciate it, but I already expected you to do that. So do that for someone who isn't expecting it, and that will really throw them off.
Indeed.
Yes. All right. Have a good one, everyone. We are out of here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
Raccoon. Veronica. Mistel.